Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
This episode is brought to you by Patreon.com/SBFVGS. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 116. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Pit Viper, Lopez.
The Pit Viper? Now what's all this about? Just got a P in it, or is there a meaning behind it?
It's got a P. Well, because Ruben, you know, of Ruben's VR Corner.
I do. That's right.
He has a theory that you are part reptilian, and I don't know why, but So I gave you a reptilian name. So there you go.
I love it. And it all makes sense. Right.
And he also thinks I'm a robot for some reason.
Yep. And also that other voice you're hearing is David might make it to the show, Tate.
Hey, I'm here. I made it.
Yeah.
Everyone out of my house. Get out of here. I had people over, but they're gone now. So we're good. We're ready to go.
All right. And also, very honored to be joined tonight by super guest friend Nick Semi-Regular Suttner.
Yes, I earned it. I'm a semi-regular. Yeah. That's what I want. I don't want to be like rare or regular. So it's like that sweet spot right in between.
How does it feel? Just kidding. I've finally achieved your dreams of being semi-regular.
That's true. Although I guess the dream is five, because then I get the jacket as the thing.
For oh, yeah, well, that's the right. Five Timers Club. Yeah. Five Timers Club. Yeah, exactly. Also semi-regular, you know, some people might be assuming that it has to do with, you know, bowel regularity, but really...
Oh, I'm very regular.
So, wonderful. There you have it. You heard it here first.
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm already enjoying myself, so thanks for having me back.
Yeah,
welcome. Band yet.
Yeah, not yet. The goal is Five Timers Club in the year 2019.
Got it. Nice. I'm into it.
So, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So, yeah, and now you've achieved tenure, after three appearances. So now that's why you get a nickname. So
there you go.
That doesn't mean you're going to keep paying me. I don't have to come on the show.
No. You'll get paid exactly what you've been paid so far.
What all of us get paid?
We'll continue.
It's locked in. Yeah.
The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover podcast comes to you every fortnight, with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first, what are you gentlemen playing at?
I say we let Nick go first.
Yeah, at it.
Me. All right. Well, I haven't been playing as much recently as I would hope to have some fun topics fresh in mind. Although last night I did hop into Tetris 99 for a bit.
Me too. It's so good.
Have you guys talked about it much yet? Because I don't want to.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No,
we haven't. Cool. It is good, but I feel like it's mostly good because the concept's very good. I feel like the execution is about as minimal as they could have possibly done.
That's true. That's very true.
It works, but it has zero like on-ramp or tutorial or anything. And it's very ugly. Even like the basic like stat screen, I wouldn't mind knowing things such as what is my average rank, but Tetris 99 isn't interested in showing me the information I want.
I also have no idea what the ranks really give you. There's no like unlockables or anything like that.
Yeah, I guess your number goes up maybe. So I don't know. I found it very fun still, and I played a bunch last night, and like I think my second match I was like number three, and then I dropped down to the 50s for a while, and I got back up to the teens. So I have no idea how good I am.
Yeah.
However, I apparently was talking to some other friends earlier today, and there was the whole sort of competitive layer of the game that I was not understanding because the game doesn't tell you anything about it, where you're supposed to be sort of focusing on when you want to like KO other opponents to send more blocks to them and all that stuff. So I'm pretty good at Tetris overall, so I was just playing like as best Tetris as I could and trying to fight off the incoming blocks, but which I did all right at, but there was no way I was gonna like get the number one without factoring in the whole other half of the game, really. So I'll be paying attention to that next time.
Yeah, we have a Know It Man in the chat, and he said, I just wish it had instructions.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, because it's not, I mean, I guess it wants to be maybe this, well, the optimistic side of me wants to think like, oh, it wants to be this sort of like Dark Souls-esque non-traditional multiplayer experience where they want people to go online and discuss this sort of thing in hushed tones in communities and like learn the secrets together. But like, it's not, it's just
the playground
with like another complex layer over it. And this is mostly for a more casual audience in some sense, and to on-ramp people into Nintendo's online service. So I don't know, the best, I don't know if the best on-ramp is like, hey, remember Tetris? Well, now you're not sure how to play part of it.
So that's a good pitch. Yeah. I like it. That's probably how
I wish they would do. I wish they would do Battle Royale in Tetris Effect, so you could do it in VR.
Yes,
that would be sweet.
Yeah,
maybe you could see like all these other Tetris things off in the distance. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be really cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah, it's weird because those products are like very, very different. Obviously, still based on the same like core Tetris, but one is like this free thing that can only be done because you have this huge volume of players, and it's done again sort of bare minimum aesthetics. Whereas the other is this very like loving, mastercrafted aesthetic with a ton of content, but you know, can't quite provide the same multiplayer thrill. So it's weird. Yeah. I'm glad it exists and I'm enjoying it, but it's just a really weird thing that I'm a bit frustrated by. Cause I feel like sometimes this is sort of, I don't know, this is like Nintendo's MO of like, we're going to do this thing that's like a really great concept and therefore it's still good, but like it could be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Nintendo in a nutshell.
Wait, Tetris not going all the way with an online service?
Yeah, what's this about? Almost getting it right with online service. Yeah. Sounds like Nintendo to me.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's okay. Like you said, there's a whole lot that I just feel like I'm not getting, and I don't know if I'm able to get it. Like, like playing Tetris to the point where blocks start falling really fast is like something I'm not, like, that's already stressful enough as it is. I don't know if my brain has any extra capacity to start like, okay, now I need to target this guy. Oh, look at this guy. His thing's really high. Like, I don't think I have that capacity.
Well, and that's the weird thing is I feel like I'm proud of my Tetris skills. I'm pretty good at it. And because I'm good at it, like I'm paying a lot of attention and I'm playing like as fast as I can and very efficiently, but that means I don't have like brain time to spare for that other layer where you have to targeting and choosing abilities. So I don't really know how to balance that. I guess it's just sort of learning a new skill, but it's weird. I feel like I almost wish it were like I was jumping into a lower playing field until I learned that and then I could graduate. But that's again, there's no, you know, modes are not of interest to this game. It's like
skill-based matchmaking.
You better. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm holding out for Dr. Mario Battle Royale.
Oh my
that's,
goodness.
That's what I want.
I want to dump
pills on people.
They're releasing the iOS one this year, right? They announced like a new Dr. Mario, but I'd be surprised if it was that.
That would be amazing,
though. I would like it. But I wonder if this is going to be sort of part of the beginning of a new wave of more casual, accessible Battle Royale games, because that's like, it needs to exist. There's a ton of people, I think, that are not like, you know, gamers enough in a sense that are going to like play Fortnite ever because it's far too complex and overwhelming. Yeah. But you have a basic Tetris vocabulary, and so you can imagine a bunch of like other retro arcade games taken to a wider audience. So
it'd be cool. I mean, my mom even tried it, and she'll never play Fortnite, but she wanted to try some Tetris.
Nice.
You know, Battle Royale, Tetris 99, I guess is what it's called. But
So
anything else you've been playing?
I've been again, this one's not super topical, but I've been playing Prey from I think 2 years ago.
Did you guys play
it back at the time?
It did. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, Mike did. Of course Mike did. Mike plays everything.
Not everything.
And he usually platinums everything too.
I'd always heard it was really good, and I think it is super good. And I, you know me, I'm not like Mr. I don't play a ton of AAA stuff. And when I do, it's usually, I usually play sort of the latest, greatest, whatever. So like, it felt sort of nice going back to something too that has like this cult following. Or not, I mean, it was as it feels a weird thing where I think it's sort of the current like AA industry that sort of died out. Like Prey is one of the closest things we've gotten to that probably this generation. But yeah, it's really good. It's like it starts in an interesting way where you're just this character in your apartment and your world gets sort of turned inside out and the whole context of the game changes. And then as you've seen from all trailers and stuff, you're on a space station and just sort of walking around hunting these mimics that change into different pieces of furniture and stuff. But I think what I like about it most is that it really allows me to play like in character and not feel weird about it. Like when I'm digging through all the drawers and just picking up random objects like we tend to do in every game, this actually like contextualizes it and lets you do stuff with that. So you find these big recycling matter machines that lets you like dump a bunch of stuff into it. And depending on sort of the base resources of the stuff, whether it's organic, like biomass or whatever manufactured stuff, it will sort of give you a different resource that then you can buy like ammo and med kits and stuff if you found like the blueprints for them. So it just sort of has a nice like feeling of like feeding everything in the world back into its own systems and doesn't feel like anything is really like wasted. It feels like it's respectful of my time in that way. And if I'm going to go explore some little niche and find some stuff, it's still going to reward me for that. But
that's cool.
Yeah. Michael, what was your experience with it?
I mean, I really liked it. I got kind of BioShock vibes off of it when I, when I first started it. But it's definitely its own thing. I really liked the sort of the branching abilities. You can, you know, I don't think this is very spoilery, but like you can essentially very much like BioShock sort of take on new abilities. And the game, I thought it was very, very thoughtful in that, like, if you take on more alien like abilities, certain like things inside the station, like turrets and things like that, that are made to protect you, kind of start turning against you. So you just have to play that balancing act of like, well, is this ability worth the game being a little bit harder for me to do this really cool thing? Or do I want to maybe just take, you know, more engineering skills and just beef up the skills I've already got?
That's cool. That's
it's a really cool approach to gameplay.
Yeah, that's really smart. And I could, I'm not there yet. I think we're at the point where I'm getting alien powers. I'm still unlocking like maybe the human powers tree, but that totally
spoilers,
makes
Mike.
I knew it goes there, but but it's also interesting because I can see these like layered systems on the game, and I know that you backtrack a lot in the game and revisit spaces, and you can see that like, well, there's this broken turret. If I have a hacking skill, I can like. Or if I have a repair skill, I can repair it, or I can hack it, or I can pick it up and move it. So clearly, like everything has several dimensions to interacting with it. So it's exciting to hear that like there's this other dimension that maybe will turn against me at some point.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, cool. And it's completely optional, and that's what I like. Just like I said, it respects the way that you want to play the game.
Right.
Those abilities start to become available to you not too far into the game, but my first run through, I didn't take advantage of any of them. I was kind of like, no, I'm gonna. It's going to stick to the human route. Mm-hmm. See how this plays out.
Nice.
It's kind of specious of you, Mike. I got to say.
I don't know. Yeah, so I'll probably keep going with that, I think. It's sort of hard to... Like, I don't play through a lot of, like, 20, 30-hour games, so it's hard to imagine that, but I'm liking it a lot so far. And I was
that's interesting, because I hadn't really heard about that aspect of the game. I didn't play Prey yet. But it's interesting because that reminds me, because that's an Arcane game, right? It reminds me of the things that they did with Dishonored, where depending on how you played it, how you chose to play it, you know, these systems would come back to haunt you possibly. So that's smart. Those guys are clever. Those guys are clever.
A bunch. I was also looking. Sorry, my doorbell's ringing.
That's okay.
I think it's my produce delivery.
Oh, nice.
Oh, fancy. Big city center, they call them.
Yeah, I do that sometimes too. So, am I cool too, guys?
Can you buzz in? Okay, yeah, she's got it.
All right. Groceries delivered.
I was just checking my phone to see if there was anything else I was playing. I restarted Snake Bird on my phone. I don't know if you guys have played it.
No, I'm not even familiar with it.
Oh man, it's one that like John Blow was promoting a lot a few years ago, sort of like a Steven Sausage Roll, if you've heard of that too, of like these sort of very handcrafted, like many leveled puzzle games that are like brutally difficult. And it's really cute. You're like this little snake bird thing that like you can. And so I play it on my phone. It used to be like PC only. Now it's great because it's a really great fit for a phone because you just swipe around and you're on these little islands as the snake bird and you're just sort of moving through the environment with swipes in like a single screen and trying to get a piece of fruit and then get to the exit. And And the first like three or four levels, you're like, oh, cool, I get it. This is pretty clever. I can't like double back on myself, and I can't like, I don't want to fall off into the water. So I just need to like take the right route. But then you hit the fifth level and you're like, okay, this game's impossible. Like the difficulty ramp is just like exponential. But it's so simple, and there's only like, it's like a 5x5 grid of spaces sometimes you can move. And so it really feels like you should be able to do it, but it's really hard and it's just really brilliantly designed.
Nice.
So if you can hang with that sort of thing and not get too frustrated, and I'm not sure where I'm at with that yet, because I think that's why I fell off the first time. It's super good. And again, like iOS, I think, is the perfect platform for it. So Snakebird, I highly recommend it.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's otherwise just Spelunky, as always, because that's, you know, that's my
yeah
thing.
Sure. you're honor bound to play Spelunky for all time.
Yeah,
that's true.
So
yeah, that's probably right. Most of it.
Mike,
what have you been playing at, sir?
So I've been pretty busy lately. Played a little more Apex.
So you've only played like 10 games this last
only 10 games.
yeah that makes sense.
But I've been mostly focusing my time on Guacamelee 2.
Nice.
It's been on the list for so long. I finally picked it up. I'm I think 5 hours into it.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that game without spoiling all the best parts of it. It's incredible. I mean, if you liked the first one, and why wouldn't you? It's just like that, but more so. One of my favorite things they've added to the game, and you guys probably experienced this if you played it, is they've taken a lot of sections of the map, and there's like these little, like, almost like traversal challenge rooms.
Okay.
And there was a little bit of this in the first one, but they like really blew this up. Like they're literally all over the map, and like my favorite thing to do, where you just like walk into a room and just like, huh, what am I supposed to do in here?
Yeah, I loved like, those in the first game so much, where, you know, you've got to like jump, double jump, and then uppercut, and then punch forward, and then maybe you'll reach the platform, like using every last ability, you know.
Yeah,
they're not really traversal abilities; they're combat, but it's really cleverly done.
Yeah, it's just it's a fantastic game, and it's really funny. So my daughter and I've been playing it together, and we were just having a really good time with it.
That's awesome.
That's
Elliot, my son, and I, we've been playing it too, enjoying the heck out of it. He says he's now forever going to be a chicken. He just like, he doesn't care about being any other form. It's just chicken power, pollo power all the time.
Was the game out last time I was on the show?
I don't think so.
I think it was.
Was it?
I think it was about to come out, or maybe it just came out.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, I do remember you talking about it. We mentioned it, and like, you know, you're like, oh yeah, I helped out a little bit. Like full disclosure, you know, like just kind of dropping it. Yeah. So yeah, I know we at least talked about it. I don't know if it was out yet though.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it and that you're finding it funny, because I ended up writing probably, I don't know, 35 or 40% of it or something.
That's awesome.
Like a lot of the ambient NBC stuff, especially as you're walking around and having silly conversations with people and hearing lots of dumb jokes and puns. So
yeah, and those things are like, they're so silly, but like they're really good. I found one the other day that my wife was watching me play, and she was like, "Is that a Westworld reference?" And I'm like, "You bet it is."
Yes.
You bet it is.
That's awesome. Makes me so happy to hear, because I was. So that actually was one of the last things that went into the game.
Because
it was pretty much after we had like locked down all the text and stuff. I was like, wait, why? We got to have a Westworld reference. Especially at that time, it was like even more topical. And so I wrote up a little thing, and I was like, can we have like a skeleton dressed in black, like somewhere in the game to say this to you? And they were like, well, we'll see. And then like a month or two passed, and then they were like, oh, by the way, we were able to get that thing in the game. And I'd written these few lines that are all very cheesy, but I was pretty happy with them.
That's awesome.
Honestly, this is like, because once in a while I'll look up online to see if people have talked about some of the references in it, because there's a lot of references, like obscure references that I wrote, at least, and probably the other guys too. And there's not, you know, there's not too much discussion around it, around that part of the game. And so you're the first person actually for me to hear who like caught the Westworld thing. I'm sure others did, but I haven't so heard about it. So that's very exciting to hear. So
I'm absolutely loving it.
I'm so glad it came full circle, because I actually worked on season one of Westworld in the visual effects.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Emmy award winning team.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah, you know.
Anyway, I just
super cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I would say within just, like the first 5 minutes of playing the game, I knew I was in love. Like, there's Castlevania references. There's references to like Limbo. There's Street Fighter. It's fantastic. It's so good.
Nice. Yeah. And just to clear it up, so you were last on in October and Guacamelee came out last April. So yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it had been out for a bit. But yeah, we were very late to the game because we were swamped.
I was with too many games. For Penance, I picked up all the DLC as well.
For Penance. For Penance. Nice. I love it.
Well, yeah, I haven't been involved in any of that stuff, mostly because I think it also doesn't have much new or as much new story and stuff. But
yeah, it's like costume packs and stuff.
Yeah, but they've been doing subsequent releases, and there's like a nice retail SKU now, and there's like the Mega Edition on everything. So I'm glad to see them getting the most out of it because I think it is a great game, and they're like packaging it up in increasingly creative ways. So,
yeah,
that's great.
Nice.
Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it for me.
Cool. My list is real short because my parents have been up visiting me for like 2 weeks straight. When you have a kid that lives in New York City, you want to like take advantage of that free place to stay in New York. So so I've had a little time for Apex Legends, which that game is really good. And we've talked enough about it already, so I don't have to go into that. And then I've also been playing a little bit of Anthem, which I'm not ready to give a review yet because I haven't beaten it, but I will say I just really wish BioWare had decided to make a BioWare game instead of whatever Anthem is. I don't hate it, but I just it's BioWare. Like
instead of like a Destiny game, I guess
it's a lot. Yeah. It's very Destiny. I appreciate that they tried very hard to make Fort Tarsus a BioWare kind of experience. Fort Tarsus is like this little area that you go to in between missions and like you can go talk to all the NPCs. But it just feels so disconnected from what you're doing in the like mission to mission gameplay that I don't even know how I would go about making it more BioWare. Like they did a really good job with what they did, but it's very hard to like, it's if you haven't played it and I'm just so disappointed. Okay, so I'm trying not to be mean because I know a lot of people worked really hard on it. So, you know, I feel like hopefully in the future they can figure out a way to reconcile, you know, their BioWare heritage with this game that they've decided to create.
Is it one of those things where when you're in Fort Tarsus, it makes you want the rest of what a BioWare game would be?
Yeah,
I was feeling that would probably be the case. Like, you know, while you're there, you're like, oh, this is great. I'm really enjoying this. Now on for some BioWare gameplay that fits in with this, and then let's go play a different game.
And the thing about it is the gameplay is fun.
That's what I keep hearing.
You lose something. One thing that was great about Mass Effect and Dragon Age is that you got to bring two other, I think it was two. Yeah, you get to bring two other characters that you get to talk to with you on missions, too. And so they're like part of your story, you know, like into the actual campaign, which helps with that. It helps keep everything feeling connected, you know. And in Anthem, you go talk to everyone in the fort and then you go with these three other random people, you know. And it just feels so like disconnected from each other. And I enjoy flying around the beautiful world. I enjoy shooting aliens. You know, I like all that stuff. And I enjoy walking around the fort and listening to people talk. There's just something missing. And I don't know. Yeah. I hope they figure it out. I hope EA gives them the chance to figure it out as well, instead of just like cutting it and, you know, that's that. So.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Okay. I don't hate it, but I also don't love it. And that's sad for me for a BioWare game. So,
yeah.
So there.
Well, yeah, I think it's one of those games that's going to evolve and get better over time.
I hope so. I just, you know, assuming EA gives them the chance to do that. So,
yeah,
I think that's one of the difficult things about AAA development is it's, you know, these things take like what, 2 to 4 years to make usually, especially if it's a new IP like that. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of taking bets and trying different genres. And, you know, it's clear there. It's like, well, they need sort of a loot-driven team-based shooter, a Destiny sort of thing. And with Apex, which I haven't played, but it's like, all right, we need a battle royale thing. And, I get the sense that was probably turned around maybe a little quicker at least. But they're sort of just placing bets that, like, these things are going to continue to be popular and evolve in the way that they're expecting them to. And they're making a lot of design decisions and things, you know, years ahead of time. And then they sort of need to also change course and, like, you know, take the current that the genre goes to.
Right.
So, I would imagine some of that is also just sort of, like, maybe EA management decision making of, like, what do we want this experience to be, and maybe BioWare bringing as much of themselves as they can to it, but ultimately it's like not, you know, maybe it's not their strong suit or something. But I haven't played either game, so I don't know. I'm just theorizing on, like,
It's interesting. I didn't even think about this. I did mention the two games I've been playing this past 2 weeks are both EA games. I didn't even think about that. Apex is solid. It's very good. And I don't know if that is Respawn doing what EA. I don't know if we'll ever really know unless some major person gets fired and then decides to start talking about how these decisions get made. But I don't know if Apex was like, hey, Battle Royale is really cool. I kind of want to make, let's have a small team make Battle Royale. I don't know. Or was EA like, we need you to make us a Battle Royale. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Well, maybe that also plays to their strengths more from Titanfall of, like, moving and shooting and, like, so the basics are really good to begin with. So they just need to make that work in the context of, like, a large, you know, a large, I don't know what they're called, large team shooter or something. So,
But yeah. So anyway, I just hope that this game sells enough for the BioWare to keep going and that we get more BioWare, because they're talking about all the, like, they're making another Dragon Age, they said.
Recently a couple guys in some different talks, was it GDC or possibly an interview I heard recently, but they were talking about that Mass Effect is not dead.
So
they're gonna be making more Mass Effect. So
that's interesting.
So anyway, that's what I've been playing. I hope BioWare is okay. That's all.
I love the BioWare of old, and I just want them to go back to doing, you know, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3 style games. That's all I want.
Dragon Age, really good.
Or
why not give us let's get another KOTOR in there. What the heck? Yeah. You know? Shoot.
Get it going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I too have been playing Apex Legends. I hooked up for a match or two with these jokers. Well, not you, David.
What?
But really, really enjoyed it more than I thought. I'm not a big multiplayer shooter guy. I'm always the guy who's, everyone else is like, we're online having fun together. Join us, Adam. And I'm like, no, I'm playing God of War all by myself.
By myself.
So that's usually me. So for me to get sucked into Apex Legends is kind of rare, but it has that charm, some of the charm of Overwatch that kind of sucks me in.
Yeah.
And then the there is something too, obviously there's something to the Battle Royale conceit, right? Mm-hmm. There's something there that, you know, it's just this fun thing that you're up against so many people and you're seeing how far you can make it. And if you can win, it's just, you know, pure glory.
Yeah. And there's just enough randomness in it to where you feel like you have a chance. I think that's another part.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chance you drop in and you get, like, the best gun ever. And, like, you're going to have a good match, you know, like, it's a very good genre. I hope we don't get too many more of them, in the world,
I just think, you know, some people talk a lot about, oh, this is not sustainable, there's too many battle royales. I think it's just, if you can get your moment in the sun, right?
Yeah.
And get a good player base for a while, that's like equivalent to your game selling well for a short period of time, like a regular retail game would.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
I don't think a ton of battle royale games need to go on forever or have the insane success of Fortnite to be a successful genre. I just think, you just got to have that moment.
Is a battle royale, is that necessarily have to be a shooter? Because, you know, we just talked about Tetris.
Ooh,
but
that's
like,
true. Yeah.
There's tons of other stuff, right? There's tons of other genres and and I think that to me is the space that is most interesting for like the genre to go to, because maybe only so many shooters are sustainable, because those are oftentimes the same players playing these different things, but there's a whole ton of other people that don't really play shooters, and like that's where I'd like to see more innovation.
That's true.
You just gave me a brilliant idea, Nick. I want like a stealth battle royale where everyone is trying to sneak up on everybody else and sneak up
Metal
and like
Gear Solid battle royale.
Yeah, like get breaknecks or stabby, you know. That'll be great.
That's actually really interesting. Someone get on that.
There'd have to be like in a building or something, not an island. Yeah, like that'd be
like, why not?
Everyone's
like
military crawling for hours.
Like a Hitman battle rail.
Oh,
yeah. Hitman. Dude, this is going to be amazing. Yeah. Somebody make it. So,
please.
All right. So, I played some Apex Legends. Also, played A Way Out with my buddy Justin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, it was awesome. He's wounded. And that part's not awesome, but he's wounded, and it was his birthday, and he's like laid up in his house. So I went over there. I brought some pizza and some beer, and we played through basically half the game in one sitting. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
And we got through like basically the break out of jail part, and that was very, very fun. So, and I can see we had our buddy Jeremy on the show a while back, and he was ragging on some of the voice acting, and I can see those I can see some of those complaints as being valid, but overall really liked A Way Out. It's fun so far. So there's a whole kind of B section of the story that we haven't really gotten into yet, but at some point we'll hook up and play the rest online.
Yeah, that's about as much as I played a little ways after prison, I think, maybe a little further than you. I was actually surprised. I sort of wanted the whole game to be this prison breakout that ends in this dramatic moment of breaking out, but I like pretty early on you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're out in the world now. This is not what was advertised, but but I should get back to it. Actually, I was playing online with a buddy, so it was a bit harder to organize, but I enjoyed it, sort of despite the voice acting and the writing especially. But it's just a weird game, because like there's so many little nonsense side activities to go do. Like you're in a barn, you could walk over and like pick up a hammer and just start like nailing the wall, and there'll be an animation and dialogue associated with it. And it's sort of silly. Like, even if you're playing online, it's still split screen, so you can see the other player doing it, and it's silly to watch them do it.
What are you doing
over
there?
But it's totally immersion breaking, and it's like funny because it's silly, but I don't think I don't know how intentionally funny it is. So like it's a really weird thing where like a third of the time in the game and effort in the game is just spent putting towards these little side things that don't contribute at all to the gameplay itself. So,
maybe we had less of that going in my game because my buddy had kind of already played through that part of the game once. And so he was taking me through it. And I see. It all seemed very fluid and cinematic and awesome to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure there would have been a lot more ballyhoo, a lot more tomfoolery had we both been experiencing it for the first
time. Nice vocabulary.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so. And of course, by the time this episode goes up, I will have also been playing Thimbleweed Park because I've just downloaded that baby. So I'm excited for that. That's, of course, Ron Gilbert's Maniac Mansion spiritual successor.
Oh, yeah. It was free on the Epic Game Store.
Yeah, free on Epic Game Store. So go ye therefore and download. But anyway, so I'll be playing that very soon as well. But yeah, so far right now, Apex Legends and A Way Out.
Nice. There you go.
The one I'm excited for, actually, that's coming out probably in like 20 minutes is Ape Out. If you guys are familiar with Ape Out. Yeah, it's Devolver's publishing it. It's a bit Hotline Miami-esque, except you're ape running around these really like vivid, beautiful environments with lots of sort of walls popping up in your face. And it's just this very like sort of like violent, visceral game of like picking up and throwing guards and it seems awesome. And it's been around for a few years, but finally coming out. And Bennett Foddy also worked in it, who did like Getting Over It. It seems just super promising. So I'm very excited for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, sweet. So I think it is time for the news.
Well done.
Yeah.
So
at
good.
Some point, I need to overdub some electric guitars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
We'll see. We'll see where
it
goes.
Like, auto tune it.
Yeah. Ooh.
So
Adam, I will say, of course, let's do a real brief news section because we went
pretty
long on what we've been playing.
Did we?
Oh yeah, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's
great.
No, it's fine.
No, that's all right. I'm going to go ahead and just keep it to three. earth-shatteringly important news stories for this Fortnite. So, Reggie Fils-Aimé, of course, president of Nintendo America, has announced his retirement to be replaced by Doug frickin' Bowser.
I love it. What so are happy. The odds that Nintendo is run by Bowser? Like, what? It just sounds like the premise to the next Mario game. Like, I just love it so much.
Oh, man. That's, I mean, it's... Reggie had some great years.
Oh my goodness.
Under his watch. So yeah, there's I think it's he's going out on a high note with the Switch being as successful as it is. So that's congrats to him.
I feel like there's never been a more memeable president of a video game company ever. Like, he is just a human meme, and I love it. Yeah. I mean, he's done great things for the company. I don't want to belittle like his accomplishments. And
he's led
America's like Nintendo of America's like company through some tough times, through some great times. And like, I don't know a single person that knows who he is and is like, I hate that guy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems really genuine, and you can tell he plays games and he's cares about what he's working on. He's excited. And I've also talked to friends who've worked at Nintendo and just like say he's a super nice guy in person,
that's awesome.
And very pleasant to them. And like, it seems like just top to bottom was like a genuine dude. So
yeah, that's awesome. And plus he apparently when he was at Pizza Hut, he helped bring stuffed crust pizza to the world. So, you know, I mean, there's his legacy. So
it's like one day he'll be remembered for stuffed crust pizza. Oh yeah. And that whole Nintendo thing too. So a sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers has sold at auction for a record breaking $100,150.
That's amazing.
That's insanity.
I should have just kept mine in the shrink wrap. Shrink wrap. Shrink wrap. Yeah,
well, the shrimp rake.
We also tried to get that off the ground at Pizza Hut, but it didn't fly.
I think that's
derailing the news.
No, that was great.
I think that's one of the cool things about this story, though. Like, if you think about it, you know, at that time in the 80s, Nintendo was just barely making enough product to get onto shelves. Like, people were devouring all of these cartridges. Like, so the idea that there's almost any sealed games at all is like incredibly rare. And I think this is one of the few like Mattbox ones. So it's not even like in, I don't think originally in like a shrink wrap, it's like just like a matte box with like a black label sticker over the top.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which
that's
makes
so cool.
It very rare.
Hmm. Yeah. Plus most of the copies of Super Mario Brothers I ever saw either had Duck Hunt attached to it, or Duck Hunt and what was the other game?
Gyromite?
No, there was like a power pad game that you could also get
the track and field
track and field. Yeah. Like there was like a three pack combo. Like I've never seen just Mario by itself, actually.
Oh, we had just Mario by itself when we were kids.
Well, I never saw
I remember
it.
Even then kind of knowing that we were OG and everyone else was like a Johnny come lately.
That sounds like the new Nintendo walking simulator, just Mario by himself. Walking around in empty,
just
with empty,
some
empty
just
mushroom
some
mushroom kingdom.
Some moody music, you know.
I'm lonely.
I'd play this. Yeah.
All right. And then finally, Pokemon Sword and Shield will release late 2019 on the Switch. So this is the 8th gen Pokemon game. Everyone's freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I sent the video to my son. He lost it. We're going to have him on for Elliot's Pokemon Minute, where he tells
us
things we do not understand very quickly. Yeah, the Pokemon. I like it.
That's amazing.
So, what are you guys' thoughts on this? I think it looks very pretty.
It looks pretty. I've never played a Pokemon game.
Me neither.
I played a little bit. I beat Red way back in the day. And then the last
did you catch them all, though?
Oh, that's definitely not. Important. I definitely didn't catch them all. then the last one I played was Pokemon X. On the 3DS, so I skipped a ton in between there.
Well, you played some Pokemon Go. Does that not count?
Nah, not really. And also, I played it for like 2 days. That doesn't. I have a friend that's still playing Pokemon Go from like
Oh, my whole family. So we were just at Disneyland for my daughter's birthday. My whole family, the whole time we're in line, I'm sitting there just like looking around at people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ooh, I caught a Voltrex or whatever. I don't know the names.
I'm going to say is I'm very excited to pick the best starting Pokemon in Pokemon Sword or Shield called Scorbunny.
Chimpokomon nope. is the best.
No, Grokey.
Chimpokomon.
Don't you mean Grokey?
Yeah, but he's the chimp Pokemon.
Okay.
How about that Pokemovie?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, the Pokemon. Oh, I'm sure I'll be watching it. I'm sure I will be watching
the trailer. It's so weird though.
It's by far the most interested I've been in a Pokemon property.
That's true.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
There's like a Pokemon with a giant tongue named Lickitung, and he's got this like photorealistic tongue, and it's just very disturbing to me.
That's why Reggie left.
Yeah, that's why he left.
That's where I draw the line.
Do we have to see every taste bud? Do we have to see all of them? I don't know.
Yeah, I do like that approach though of like, well, we've ordered at least a bunch of Pokemon movies in the past. Have you seen any of them? Like, no, I'm not interested. This one has Ryan Reynolds. Like, oh, all right, I'm in.
Oh, yeah, let's sure. go. I'm in.
All right. Now, is quick side, rabbit trail. Is a genie technically a Pokemon? Like Will Smith's genie.
Mm-hmm.
Is he, like, when he goes into the lamp, is the lamp just, kind of the antique version of a Pokeball?
Ooh. I mean, maybe all Pokemon are genies. That's the real thing. Because they're all being stored in their figurative lamp, which is actually a Pokeball. But like that, yeah. I think you're onto something, Adam.
Or we I'm just saying, just throwing out free game ideas all day long on this podcast. Uh-huh. Someone makes a nice Pokemon ripoff that's all battling genies.
Ooh, that's nice.
Wait, are you surmising that the Aladdin remake is a prequel to Pikachu?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Because this Nintendo and Pokemon Disney universe you've created Godzilla is like the next one in the future.
Ooh. And then we get King Kong in there. Get King Kong in there and, let's...
Yeah. All right. No. After the podcast, Nick, let's start a Reddit thread. We'll get our theories out there.
Nice. I like it.
It may exist already.
All right, time for the tweets.
Wow.
Mike. It's time for Mike Struggles to read the tweets.
Also, I'd say an abbreviated tweets section would be...
Perhaps.
Yeah. Might I mean, this is, it's going to be real short.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you again, everyone. That's the real word I was trying to use, for writing in. Starting off, Ashley wrote in and said, is there a game soundtrack you really didn't think much about when the game released, but now you think, wow, that was a quality soundtrack. I'm going to say soundtrack instead of OST.
Yeah. She wrote OST. Yeah.
I think for me, it's the work by Trevor Morris for Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, speaking of BioWare,
stuff done for the DLC Trespasser. That's a really good soundtrack. I would kind of, on that same note, say that was very true for me for Mass Effect.
True. The first
one,
especially.
I didn't think about that soundtrack very often. Yep. And then later on, I heard it like outside the game, and I was like, oh, this is actually really good.
That theme mm-hmm. song that plays on the title screen is like...
Mm-hmm.
freaking iconic. Like I have it in my head right now just like thinking about the game. Yeah. Like
and the map, the star map, I think, as well.
Yeah,
super good.
Yeah,
and for sure. In Spider-Man, the hacking mini game music reminded me so much of the star map music.
That's yeah, what for it reminded sure. me yeah. of. I couldn't think of it until right. I'm like, what You're does welcome, this yeah. sound like? Yeah, that is total. Oh my goodness. Man. Yeah. That there you
I'm
go.
My answer would be the Dr. Mario music. I'm bringing it back to Dr. Mario. Dr. Mario music, of course, when you're just playing it, you're like, this music is pretty annoying, actually.
No.
And then years later,
amazing.
One of my favorite bands, One of my favorite bands, Pretty and Nice,
released exactly a song you're talking about
called Mummy Jets, and that song sounds just like the it's heavily inspired by that song. And I all of a sudden realized how much I love Dr. Mario.
That's incredible. See, my problem is I always pay attention to the music. I mean, I will say, like, some soundtracks grew on me. Like the Mass Effect one, for example, I thought it was cool and I didn't really think about it. And then, like, as I kept playing, it grew on me. But most of the time I'm pretty keyed into the music. And I know, like back when I was playing Dragon Age Inquisition, I knew I loved that soundtrack. I was like, this is so good. I don't know. I will say the nostalgia for Destiny 1 music for me is really strong now. Like, especially the music that plays in, like, the social hub, because I played a lot of Destiny 1, like, way more than I played Destiny 2. I guess there's a little bit of, like, nostalgia makes everything a little stronger. So
One shout out I'll give to a game that probably no one's listening to the soundtrack like I have, but not many people have played, probably because it released on PlayStation Minis on the PSP. And I'm sure it's on PC as well. I just played it on Minis at the time. A game called Where Is My Heart? This great game from some designers in Denmark and the Netherlands, I think. Anyways, it's a really cute little puzzle game about sort of have three different. It's sort of like Lost Viking style, where you're swapping between different characters, but more as a puzzle game where you're on these little hovering islands. You just have to, or in the woods, I guess, and get these creatures to the end and sort of stand on each other to reach places. And it's just a single player game where you're swapping characters. But anyway, it has a super chill, sort of like light, chill, chiptune-y thing. And it's a beautiful soundtrack. It's only like 15, 20 minutes long, I think. It's like 6 or 7 songs, but I've listened to it like hundreds of times over the years. I still listen to it. It is like such wonderful, like, background ambient music just to put on while you're working or relaxing or something.
Where Is My Heart? Where Is My Heart? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So good.
Yeah. Have to check that out.
Very cool. Josh Bailey wrote in and said, I challenge Adam to speed run The Witness in celebration of it being announced for PlayStation Plus.
There is no speed running The Witness.
Dave and Mike can pick an appropriate punishment for failure to complete the task.
There you go, Adam.
Do you know about the end game?
Well, yeah. So okay. The thing is, there's no speed running The Witness for me. I can only obsessively play that game.
Oh,
Everything. This is a me problem. I know there are people out there who can, I'm sure, memorize how all the puzzles go, figure out the path of least resistance, and beat the game in a pretty short amount of time. But for me, I just have to solve everything and explore everything. Right.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I guess all I'm saying, and if someone wants to skip ahead 30 seconds for spoilers, but part of the sort of post-finishing endgame stuff is, like, you don't have a choice. You have to do it.
Oh, that's true. You have to do that part super fast.
And it's not a thing you can memorize either. So,
You just have to know the fundamentals well and be able to think on your feet.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I did not do in the game. And so I need to, like, I've been meaning, actually, I want to replay the whole thing from scratch just so I can, like, relearn the vocabulary of it so that I can tackle that and finish it this time.
Same. Yeah, I did absolutely everything except for that section. I was like, you know what? I think I'm satisfied. So I don't know. Maybe I'll double back at some point. If you complete this challenge, maybe I will too.
I see. Okay.
Well, Adam, if you don't complete the challenge, I think I've decided that my appropriate punishment is that you have to do one live stream of yourself playing a game, any game.
On the internet. Gosh,
that place is gross.
How gauche. Speaking of the gross part of the internet, Casey wrote in and said, when are you guys planning to do your AMA with 8chan?
Oh my goodness.
Probably never.
Never. I'm gonna say definitely never. I'm gonna put a probably on there.
There has never been a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. I'm out.
I have never heard of this place until I started hearing everyone freaking out about THQ Nordic.
THQ put it on your radar.
having done an AMA there.
Thanks, so. THQ.
Here's my favorite part of that whole debacle, right? Is they post they're doing it. Shout out to Mark. then they apologize for doing it, but in the process of apologizing for doing it, They never like removed the link to 8chan they put up.
Oh man,
they never deleted any of the tweets about it. It's just
they like to tweet about don't change for all of the social justice warriors or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's weird. It's a whole
super
weird.
Like, I feel super bad for all the devs that are, you know, they have no say in THQ Nordic is like the face of some of their companies now.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Hopefully they will learn very, very quickly from that. And our last one here is pretty interesting. Blah wrote in and said thoughts on Amy Hennig's recent statements. So,
and I hadn't heard of these recent statements.
You haven't heard of these recent statements.
Yeah.
So the short version is, Amy said something to the effect of like a single player AAA is like a hard pitch these days. And so obviously people take that stuff. They run to Twitter. They start like losing their minds. How she's so wrong, blah, blah, blah. It's not what she said at all. Right. Like if you go back and you read the VentureBeat article, what she actually said was a game like Uncharted 1 would be a very tough pitch today. It's a single player 8-hour campaign with no online anything. And nothing to like really unlock. It's just like, it is what it is. This 8-hour story we wanted to tell, and to try to take that to a company these days when everything has to be bigger and better. Like even for the single player, you know, AAA games, like people are still expecting that to be like 20 hours long now.
Our God of War was what? Like 40 or 50 hours?
God of War was really long.
It was like, so long. Yeah, I couldn't believe
huge.
It.
Yeah,
I mean, so, even if you take her statements at face value and just in just the part that got out about her saying that that's a hard pitch, like it is a hard pitch. I think it makes total sense why it's a hard pitch, and that shouldn't be surprising. I don't know. So many games are like built as platforms and built with you know, not trading them in mind, and built with DLC in mind, and like all this is much harder to approach as a single player game, especially if it's not something that's 20 or 40 hours long. So. I mean, it doesn't mean they're not going to exist, but I think that's just her like giving voice to this thing that is actually happening every day in the industry of people like wanting to make these games. But yeah, as a big AAA project, that is a tough pitch. And like we talked about too, without the AA there, where a lot of that stuff used to exist, like either you've got to go big like God of War, or it's going to be a much harder time. And again, like even Prey, I don't know if Prey was profitable or if there's going to be more things like that, despite it being super well received.
Yeah, so. It seems like the industry is changing. Some of it is prompted by what the players want, but then the other side of it is prompted by business decisions and wanting people to either spend more money in one particular game, or like getting people to just keep coming back to one game over and over. Like this whole game is a platform thing. I feel like some of that the players want, like Destiny was very successful, but I don't know. I don't think players think that every game needs to be like Destiny. And I think,
yeah, I feel like you just like each player probably, I mean, people who like those kinds of games, right? You probably just need like one of those at a given time.
Like,
right?
I can't imagine.
And then you'll eventually move on to another one. Yeah. And you got other games you're playing. But
in a couple weeks, we're going to have Destiny 2 still, Anthem, Tom Clancy's Division, The Division 2. Those are all the same kind of game. They are all relatively recent. Destiny 2 is older, but they keep adding more content to it. I have to choose basically which one I want to destroy my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you still have like a bounty of choices, even with things being supposedly so difficult.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know what the next few years hold, but it feels like they're going to hold less Uncharted 1 style games. That's for sure.
But also,
I'm just going to still be trying to beat Red Dead. So. You know,
I think
for the next few years,
I don't remember the quote at all, but Sean Layden, the president of Sony, also recently had, or of PlayStation, said something recently to the effect of like that's not true for them, and that's a big part of their
DNA
as a company.
Yeah.
And so that's some, and I think they are sort of best in class anyways in that realm. So,
They're committed to single player. They've definitely proven that with the PS4, library that they've been like the first party stuff. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and with Spider-Man and God of War and
Horizon,
Horizon is also, but that's more of an open world. you know.
But it's still a single player.
I guess Spider-Man is too. Yeah. I mean, yeah, all of these games are still selling extraordinarily well.
It'll be interesting seeing like Days Gone, which I think has a bit of a chip on its shoulder and is actually coming out soon, but like still is a super AAA, you know, huge single player thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And them's all the tweets.
Yeah, I think it is about time to sell you guys things.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh.
No, I mean, I'm not going to sell you anything, but I will plug the Patreon just a tad. So in 2019, of course, patreon.com/SBFVGS, we modified things just a tad. So now even at the $1 tier, you're getting early access to episodes, typically 1 to 3 days early ahead of the street date.
Mm-hmm.
You can impress your friends.
Break that embargo.
Yeah, break the embargo, as they say. And of course, the $2 tier gets you access to our Patreon exclusive minisodes, which in February we dropped two.
What?
Because we're playing catch up.
Unprecedented.
So two Patreon exclusive minisodes. I'll just tease the names of these things in case you missed them. So episode minisode 5 was a sexy ghost named Ben. And episode 6 was on Love and Mass Effect. So there's a lot of fun, weird stuff going on in those minisodes. Go check them out on our Patreon. Of course, you could be watching the show live right now as we record it at the $5 tier, or later watching the archive. So if it's a video podcast for you now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you have it. There you have it. And of course, there's other tiers if you want to back at more illustrious levels. And we would, of course, appreciate that. Help us hit that next Patreon goal, which is the monthly live streamed community game nights. Be fun to play some Apex Legends with you guys. This is how David is going to fool me into playing online games. And it's by forcing my hand via Patreon. So anyway, patreon.com/SBFVGS if you guys want to back the show. If not, of course, the show remains free to you, and enjoy. Please enjoy. That was a kissy. Kiss for you guys. Yeah. In any direction. Right, it is topic time. Time for the meat and potatoes.
But wait, where'd Mike go?
Mike is gone. Oh. He has abandoned us.
Oh, man.
He is on a Chipotle mission for his wife.
So, a noble cause.
It is time. It is the noblest cause. To blame.
That was just the most random Princess Bride
I'm glad you caught it.
I've ever heard.
We just watched it. We watched Princess Bride every Valentine's Day. So, yeah. So you know, yeah. It's right
Makes
there.
Sense.
It's right there. So anyway, for the topic this fortnight, we have a question. Actually, two questions. Bonus question is in there too. So I wanted to highlight and see what you guys come up with for a genre that has sadly passed into the annals of history, but that you'd like to see making a resurgence. And it doesn't have to be realistic at all. It can be pie in the sky. It can be something that will never make a resurgence. But I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about this. And also, bonus question, what gaming studio, what studio would be perfect to make it?
Okay.
Make all the right. game.
Well, I've got one, and there might be just too much nostalgia in my brain, and it could be the worst idea ever, but I really miss the days when like first person shooters were designed for couch co-op, like GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, like Rare destroyed that genre in such a great, like they even had a Conquer. It wasn't really first person, but like it was like in the same vein as GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. Like there was just something about it, about like sitting in the same room as the person while you're like blasting them. I know that's a difficult thing to pull off now. Like I have Smash Brothers Ultimate, and I have not one time had a single person over to play that with me. So like, I know this is more pie in the sky than it is realistic, but I would just love just, I don't know, just the idea.
Well, it's like, yeah, like back in the day when you could just co-op the campaign of Halo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, just, I mean, that's a little different. So cool. I'm talking specifically GoldenEye's multiplayer mode. Like, you know, hey, don't look at my screen. That's cheating, like that. You know, you know, and I have some friends. I have friend of the show, Miss Maya, and her boyfriend. They play Apex Legends together like that. Even though the game doesn't have split screen, they have two PS4s in their living room, and they'll like, then they like talk about screen looking and all that stuff. And like, it, you know, like,
Peaking.
You're thinking competitive multiplayer.
Yeah, I'm thinking competitive multiplayer. Yeah.
Have you played played Screen Cheat?
No. What is that?
Check out Screen Cheat.
Screen Cheat.
Yeah. Yep. It's a first person shooter that's split screen and is about looking at each other's screens in some ways. You should check it out.
Okay. I'm writing it down. Now.
Again, I think a lot of these genres that feel lost are like lost again because of the like double A not existing, but indies are still making them.
That's true.
But it's harder to like sort through and be aware of them because there's so many games.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
That's why you call in Sutton. Get me Sutton on the line, coach. Yeah, usually I just pick up a phone and I yell, "Get me Sutton."
That's how I do it. Sutton phone in your room.
Yeah. And then you appear on the podcast the very next episode. Yeah. Typically.
Do you like have to pull up a bust of a sculpture and like push a button?
Oh man, that's one of my life goals, to get a bust in my living room somewhere, and then I just fold the head back and I've got a secret phone.
Like you talk into my ear and you listen through my mouth.
It's getting more and more get smart. Yes,
this is great.
I'll settle for a shoe.
And to answer your question about which developer, well, obviously you should get Rare Spiritual Successor Retro to make it.
Rare still exists. Microsoft ruined them.
They do. I don't know if ruined them. Like, Sea of Thieves is fun. I haven't played it since they added it to
making like, you know, avatars or Kinect sports and stuff for like 15 years
for like 10 years.
It seems like a final get like a little tease of the real Rare. But you need more of that.
Yeah, exactly. We need more of that. And it would be nice if Microsoft did it, but I don't have any hope that they will. So that's why I think Retro should do it, because they're the spiritual Rare now. You know, I feel like Retro won't rest until they recreate every type of game that Rare has made. Like, they've already got their, you know, I guess Rare didn't make Metroid, but they did make a first person shooter. So there's their GoldenEye, right? And then Retro recreated Donkey Kong Country, basically. And there's a rumor that they're working on a Diddy Kong Racing type Star Fox game.
And now they're making Metroid.
And now they're making Metroid again. So, you know, let's get them making a first person shooter with screen, couch co-op or couch competitive. I don't know how you say that.
Local multiplayer.
Local multiplayer. There you go.
Local competitive multiplayer, I guess.
And then maybe they can make another Star Fox game after that, after all of that.
Yeah, I still think nothing beats the intensity of like being in the same room, being against each other, but like we used to set up two PlayStation 1s playing Descent against each other and have the TVs back to back to where you literally couldn't see the screen of the other person, but you were right there in the same room.
Link mode descent.
And you're just like, it's so tense.
We called it LMD for Link Mode Descent, because you had to buy a link cable to.
That's
taking me way back, Adam. Me and Adam, Nick. Yeah. I don't know if you know this. Me and Adam have known each other since we were in high school. So anyway, there's a long history.
A long gaming history.
Yes,
to lean on.
That's right.
Indeed.
Good.
Yeah. So, Nick. What do you have? Okay. What do you have for us?
Mine. I didn't know about this topic till a few hours ago. So I haven't quite been able to stew on it. However.
I'm sure I don't know what you mean. I'm sure I didn't send that to you at 5 p.m.
I have a couple of decent ideas for it. One, I think, is I really want like character driven extreme sports games to come back. Because I was a big Tony Hawk guy later. I loved Skate a whole lot. I loved SSX. Even games like Sean Murray's Pro Wakeboarding, which I was just joking about on Twitter, is like actually an incredible game that was as good as Tony Hawk, but like a wakeboarding game.
The one you wrote a book about.
That was my joke. But it's actually a really good game. And someone should write a book on it. There was something like Downhill Domination is one of my favorite games ever, like a weird mountain biking game. And I think it was, you know, I don't know, sort of, I guess Tony Hawk was sort of the progenitor of this and what kicked it all off. But these were a lot of games that I loved for a long time, and then it just sort of went away. And there's been a couple, like, you know, there was sort of an SSX reboot. And I think things like Rocket League are promising in this realm. But that's more sort of just head-to-head, and you're a car, you're not a person. And that's why I say, like, character-based.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think this is another place that could be rich for, like, a Battle Royale-style thing. And we're talking about more, like, think about, like, a Battle Royale skateboarding game. Like, that sounds awesome. To me, like, the old sort of Tony Hawk, like, tag different parts of the level and have to score higher on, you know, on different parts to, like, capture it, like, that as a battle royale. I don't know, like,
that's awesome.
This is just a place that was a really rich genre for a long time, and I associated with, like, sort of like when PlayStation made games cool, you know, and like they were already fun and we played them, and then PlayStation came along, PS1 launch, and SSX, or I guess even before that, the 989. What was it called? The like extreme series or whatever. Snowboarding. Like, some of those helped like make games cool. And I associate a lot of these extreme sports games with actually being cool games, and not in like a cheesy extreme sports kind of way, but in like,
so extreme.
Yeah. Like, there were some of the first games to have licensed soundtracks.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, these are some of the first games where you would play for a little bit, and then you look down, you're wearing a leather jacket and you're drinking a Mountain Dew.
Exactly.
And it was like, every time. It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
I still have that jacket and that Mountain Dew.
Jet Moto, would that count? I mean, there's no person associated.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, okay. I love it.
Jet Moto. I loved those games. The first two, I don't know if they made more.
They probably did.
Love those games.
And it's, I think there's just sort of a degree of player expression that came with that I really enjoyed, and like a sort of a physicality, and had a lot of good, like, a lot of those games had good, like, game feel early on before that was a thing that people thought much about.
That's true.
In 3D games, I think. And even just thinking right now, actually, I think one that would be really cool to see do a take on this is Platinum Games, who are sort of the masters of game feel and, you know, 60 frame per second, like, crazy action, and Devil May Cry is about to come out. But I think maybe them doing an extreme sports game, I'd be very excited about. And the one other one I'll throw out that I thought of as a second place maybe is Virtual Pets, which has never really been much of a thing since, like, Tamagotchi even, and there's been like Nekowatsume and some other things that have been little like cultural blips from time to time.
Nintendo had that dogs game once a long time ago.
Exactly, and that was huge. But I think especially like I am constantly wanting a thing on my phone to like check in on and have some interaction with. But I feel like nothing is quite done at the right way for me. And I think there probably is a bunch on the phone, but I feel like if there's one I haven't heard of, then it hasn't sort of broken through to the rest of gaming culture.
Yeah,
and
that's
something
true.
That we all want to, outside again of like Nekowatsume a couple of years ago. But I think this is just a place that's like rich for more, especially sort of asynchronous other player socialization stuff.
Interesting.
I don't know. That, it just feels like another rich vein that has been sort of dormant.
Yeah, I like it.
Let's get our Tamagotchi 2019 in here. What could they do now? You know,
what about an extreme sports Tamagotchi?
What if it's Tony Hawk in there? Yeah. Oh, you have to keep Tony Hawk alive.
Tonygotchi.
Tonygotchi.
There you go. And he's just like, there you're was. Getting old, and he's not as good anymore. No. And you gotta like,
Tony Hawk's gotta go to the bathroom again.
Yeah, you got to make sure he takes his back pill so he can do his 920 or whatever.
Or like, I would totally play a game that was just like a snowboard management sim where I was just like curating the life of a snowboarder, and then he goes off and does his runs, and I don't play that part.
Or you're just servicing like the lift motor.
Oh my goodness!
You know, maintenance. The ski lift, and then they get on and they do amazing.
Gotta do
runs.
Some maintenance on it. Make sure that thing is running oiled up. You know.
That's sounds kind of like those like Japanese run a train station kind of games,
like where it's like a sim tycoon or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Make sure the trains are running on time.
There was a version of that where it was running Disneyland rides. You had to make sure Disneyland ride was running on time, and like if there was like a mechanical error, you had to like take that car off the line and put it was intense. I don't even remember. I think it was a web game, like a web based. It was like, so it was all like just really basic visuals, but the concept was like challenging. And
I'm imagining like instead of the UI, it's all built into the game. So like there's like a teacups ride and you're turning up the speed and there's a kid and like you go too fast and like vomit starts coming out of his mouth and you have to like dial it down to a speed where it goes back in and just stays in his mouth. It's like just the right speed.
It just stays in his mouth. That's the beauty of the teacups, is because the centrifugal force forces the vomit back down your throat.
There you go.
That's how they keep them so clean.
Excellent. See, you must have played this game already.
Only in real life. Only in real life. So,
Adam, did you have one?
Yeah, I did. So, my genre. So, basically, I remember playing a ton of these as a kid. I loved them to death. And then they slowly started to go away. And then I get that it's just, you know, what the kids are paying for. What are the kids paying for? They're not paying for the side-scrolling beat 'em up anymore.
Right.
But I was playing the NES Classic the other day, playing some Double Dragon, and I was like, man, I miss the days of, like, Ninja Turtles beat 'em ups, Simpsons beat 'em ups, where you're just cruising through the streets and you're beating up anyone who approaches you.
Yeah, X-Men.
And, X-Men had a great beat 'em up back in the day. I mean, I was just thinking of, like, right now, I would absolutely go sink a ton of quarters into a Bob's Burgers beat 'em up.
Yeah.
You know, like that'd be so much
Adam,
fun.
Adam, I'm about to make your day, by the way. Do you remember that Genesis game, Streets of Rage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember. I heard something about Streets of Rage 4.
They are making Streets of Rage 4. It's due out in 2019.
Oh, man.
It looks beautiful.
So excited.
Yeah, it does look gorgeous.
Beautiful.
So
being developed by Lizard Cube and Guard Crush Games. I did Google this. Yeah. I didn't know it off the top of my head.
Oh, man. Because me and my brother.
Lizard Cube did the really pretty Monster Boy remake.
Okay. That's cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And there have been a couple of remakes of, like, you know, some of the Ninja Turtle ones and. I think you could buy the X-Men game on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, but you want new ones.
Yeah.
I want new, like, high budget, high production value. And I think the closest I got in recent memory was the Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, that was pretty good.
That was,
but also
that was a good
like
game.
Almost
that was
10
really
years
fun.
Ago now. So,
yeah.
Recent.
Yeah.
I guess another really old one, but Alien Hominid by the Behemoth 2 was really good.
Yeah, that was.
I don't think I played
did you
that
never
one.
Play, really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
No.
That's like that was right in the sort of indie golden age of like 2008 to 2010. That was one of the big summer arcade games. That was a super great, like exactly that. A little more of a side scroll, like you had a laser gun instead of, and you like chomped on
it
guys
was almost,
instead of a beat 'em up.
It was almost an Earthworm Jim kind of game as well, like because the way you had the gun and stuff. But it was good. It was a good game. I even played that one, Adam,
and local co-op. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, and I guess we'll just go with the team that made Scott Pilgrim. I think it was Ubisoft Montreal that made that one.
Okay.
So
nice.
They did a great
that's
job.
Awesome. It seems like there's a lot in our gaming history that seems like it's kind of been a little bit for a little while. Like if you'd asked me this question a little bit over a year ago, I would have been like, I want another game like Mario 64 because we haven't really had a Mario game like that for a long time. But then Mario Odyssey came out. So now we basically have had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking, OK, third person like platformers. Well, we've had, you know, a few great ones. You know, we had a great Zelda game. I still would love a proper Road Rash sequel.
I think for that sort of Mario thing, though, it's specifically sort of a non-combat based, which makes me think like things like Snake Pass, which I haven't played a lot of,
yeah.
but are probably in that genre. And then maybe the Yooka-Laylee game as well.
Yeah, Yooka-Laylee.
It's also sort of Rare related, but.
That's true. Yeah. I actually have been waiting. For some reason, Yooka-Laylee came out, and I was like, well, I have to play it on the Switch. So I waited for the Switch version. And then I just never got it for some reason. And I'm starting to feel like I should probably get it now. It's time. I need a collect-a-thon in my life.
Yeah.
I also have been like itching to play A Hat in Time, which I have never played, but I've heard is really good. And also, I think they're making a Switch version of that as well.
Yeah, looks good.
So maybe I'll just go all crazy on collect-a-thons. Maybe it's time.
Hmm. Yeah, and I would say, I would have said my most missed genre is the cinematic 2D platformer,
a la
Flashback or Another World. But, I mean, we have The Last Night coming, hopefully this year. So, hopefully. I mean, I can't... it looks so good, and I can't wait.
What is that other one that was on, Kickstarter right now?
Another Flashback-esque game?
Yeah.
There's Naruto Boy or Naruto Boy.
That looks awesome that too. Wrong? Noita, I think. Maybe, or not sorry, Noita is a different game, but yeah, that one, Naruto Boy. Yeah,
is this the part of the show when we Google things? Adam?
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, Naruto Boy. Naruto Boy looks amazing.
The one I was thinking of is called Lunark.
Lunark. How do you spell it?
Lunark.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I guess the campaign just ended actually a couple days ago, but it looks very similar to the things we're talking about.
Oh.
Check it out.
Cool.
Yeah,
I just just looking things up now. There you go. I was waiting for that
Canary
jingle.
Canary Games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. All right.
I've got a lot of homework to do after this episode.
I know. See, that's what, if you ever start feeling like your favorite genre has passed you by and it's gone forever, you call in Suttner.
call Suttner.
And he'll tell you the indie games that are doing exactly what you crave.
In your room that you've always wondered what it is. Speak into the ear.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'll come drop some bombs on your podcast.
All right. End of the show plugs for all. Where can we keep up on all things Mr. Nick Suttner?
At N Suttner on Twitter, N-S-U-T-T-N-E-R, and at The Splunky Show if you want to listen to my game design podcast that is, has the umbrella of Splunky, but isn't really about Splunky. And we, last episode, we had Justin Ma on from Subset Games, who made Into the Breach, and I thought that was a pretty great episode.
Ah, very cool.
And then just this week, the one going up that should be up by the time this is out is with Tanya Short of Kit Fox Games. So we've had some pretty awesome guests on recently. A few episodes ago, we had Richard Garfield on, the creator of Magic the Gathering and Keyforge and a million great board and video games. So that's been going well. So anyway, it's at The Splunky Show on Twitter.
Awesome
or on iTunes. All right
Yeah, definitely check those out. And also, of course, we have you got to make sure you check out the Reformed Gamers podcast, featuring friend of the show Logan Sharp, who we've had on the show. They run a delightful gaming podcast over there at thereformedgamers.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at trgpodcast. And thank you guys for your support. And of course, you can keep up with us at sbfvgs.com. That's where you can find links to our episodes, our social media, Twitch channel, merchandise, and more. If you like what we do and you like to see us doing more of it, the best way is to support the show.
Easy for you to say.
Are supporting us on patreon.com/sbfvgs or subscribing on Twitch or leaving us a delightful iTunes review. Or you know what? This one's even easier. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Bring a friend to this podcast next time.
There you go.
There you go.
Have yourself a little listening party where you invite them over, play it on your Amazon Echo. You know, we're on Spotify, so it's really easy to get us on your Amazon Echo.
Have the podcast pressed onto vinyl so you can really impress them when you put it on.
You'll never hear Adam's, dulcet tones more rich and warm than pressed onto a vinyl. So
then recorded into my digital audio workstation and then pressed to vinyl.
I mean, it doesn't. That's what,
press an MP3 to vinyl.
That's what all the records are nowadays anyway. Spoiler alert, all you hipsters out there. All your vinyls are digitally recorded anyway. So, anyway.
Well.
Sorry. Anyway. Did I just burst everyone's bubble?
That was an odd rabbit trail. But a very special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome face. Thank you.
Mike's
for that.
Not here to make noises about it, how handsome his face is. Oh, nice.
There we go. And of course, for being producer tier. Thank you, Eric. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at SBFVGS Podcast. I'm on there at as well at Barry White. That's B-U-R-Y-W-I-T-E. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. Nick, of course, is N. Sutner. And of course, feel free to send me a PSN friend request. I'm Barry White on
but
there as well.
But he'll be too busy.
Play some games. Play some Apex.
He'll be too busy brooding to do any gaming with you.
I may be brooding. I may be playing Red Dead or something, but I have been playing Apex. So if you spot me on there, send me an invite. I may be persuaded. Oh. So, and of course, thank you very much, Nick, for being back on the show.
Yeah,
third time.
Thanks for having me.
Semi-regular.
It's always a great time.
Nice.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. It's always a pleasure having you.
Excellent.
So, we'll have to have you back again soon.
Thank you. I would love to.
Cool. Nice.
Maybe after E3, when I'm sure there'll be lots of weird stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a brilliant idea. Brilliant.
Let's do it.
Cool.
All right. And that's all the time we have for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 116. Thank you for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more semi-regular podcast episodes and featuring talk on gaming. Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show.
Hey, goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
What about an extreme sports Tamagotchi?
What if it's Tony Hawk in there? Yeah. Oh, you have to keep Tony Hawk alive.
Tony Gotchi.
Tony Gotchi.
There you go. And he's just like getting old and he's not as good anymore. No. And you gotta
Tony Hawk's gotta go to the bathroom again.
Yeah,
you gotta make sure he takes his back pill so he can do his 9:20 or whatever.